and tell me, as their elected official, they want a strong code enforcement office.
We had, we had Councilman Sheldon, then Councilman Hollins, and then...
Two questions, just one of them, excuse me, you did say, I win the appeal, I've high grass, I've found, I've cut it, and everything's okay. I do get the person does get the $20 back.
There's no charge.
There's no charge, right.
No charge.
So there's no charge at all.
You only get
the charge is when you're in the things and you pay your fine and so forth. The multiple fines, or code violations, excuse me, are they more than $20? Or if you said no.
$20.
Did I hear that right?
One hearing. If they come in.
One hearing for three, say I got three different things.
Three, six,
one hearing.
One hearing, $20.
What happens if I have, just one more question, February 7th I got a citation, February 23rd I got another citation. Do you group them together to try to get it done, or is it two separate ones, hearings?
From my
that is 14 days difference.
From my experience, well, first of all, they can't really do that now because you have to have the right to appeal, and your right to appeal takes over 30 days, so you can't really compress tickets that close. Historically, if the county got tickets in from the same person, different dates, we would consolidate them for ease of everybody, ease of the applicant, ease of the hearing officer, ease of everybody, into one hearing. And if they have one hearing, then it would be $120.
Okay, then. And sequentially fined if they found guilty on each particular case.
They would receive the fines for the particular violations if they're found guilty, $120 hearing fee.
Right.
Now, if the tickets are 6 months apart and they're separate hearings, then that would be a $20
understood.
Per hearing.
All right, thanks.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would have to agree with Councilman Taggart that I think the goal for the government here is to protect the citizens with compliance. And we all know that there are folk, in fact, who will not maintain their properties to code. As a matter of fact, I had called to my office today with a complaint as it relates to compliance. So I think that's the intent here. And we also know that this is not new. We are making some amendments here to make certain that it meets the strict application of the Constitution and the rights of people in Newcastle County. So I see it as being having been handled in a reasonable manner. We are all familiar with the 25 top problem properties that we've spent a lot of manpower, a lot of dollars to get those things mitigated, and we continue to add to that list. But if you were to take it the other way, we know people will abuse the system to try to get away with wherever they can because they have no intention of, in fact, bringing their property up to code, and we know those people are out there. But if we didn't have some sort of fee, as minor as it is, why wouldn't everybody just appeal? I mean, just, you know, when you get the notice, just appeal. Send a note, say, I appeal it. And what happens in that case? There are people who would, as a matter of fact, take advantage of the appeal process if there wasn't some minor fee or some requirement, but just to say, okay, send an appeal, there's no cost, there's no nothing, just appeal it. Why wouldn't everybody just do that? I think that it's been reasonably applied, and I think that what has been presented here today is just an amendment to what we've been doing all along, and I don't see an abuse if you just look at the numbers that, again, Councilman Tack had cited. The few people that do appeal, of those few people that appeal, they're not the majority. The majority wins their appeal. So it seems to me that we're trying to amend the legislation to, in fact, be a benefit to the abusers. And I just don't see that, you know, that's what we need to do here.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Smiley?
Yes, I want to thank Councilman Taggart for bringing those numbers up. And since we are on the record, and please, Mr. Edwards, tell me if I'm wrong, I want to go back to the committee meeting and just clarify, since we are on the record, a lot of the appeals that were upheld weren't because there was not a code violation. People that were cited came in, they had proof, they were out of town, they were away on vacation, they had this, they had that. They had extenuating circumstances. They didn't get the notice, whatever it was. They had extenuating circumstances as to why they could not timely take care of the problem. They didn't timely get the notice because they weren't around. They were in the hospital, whatever. And our department took that into consideration and allowed for that. So it wasn't that there were all of these code citations given out there that had no merit. A large amount of them were because of taking into consideration people's personal extenuating circumstances and granting them the benefit of the doubt. Am I correct on that?
I would agree with that. The majority of the appeals that were satisfied or that people won were because of those extenuating circumstances. And I think it follows the overall goal of the department, which is to get the violation resolved.
Yes.
It's not, they're not interested in having people get tickets or paying the county money. What they're really interested in getting the violation resolved. And I think what you see is the hearing officer has somebody in front of them who wants to resolve the violation, may have been in Florida for the month. He says, well, then get the violation resolved, and I'm going to grant your appeal. So the majority of tickets do follow that line.
Thank you.
Councilman Retta.
Yeah, for no other questions, would you like to say something?
You want to close the let me get something else on the record first, and then you can close. I think it's important to get on the record, and we've discussed in committee, but since we're in full council, most of these amendments were made pursuant to suggestions and instructions from a judicial reviewing body that makes this a better enforcement tool for the county and a more appropriate and improved enforcement tool for the county. Is that correct?
That is correct. We whether it be a comment or something that may be in a motion or in a brief or in some decision by the court, we try to follow those decisions, and this legislation has some of that in it.
Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry, if you're going to go last, we'll go to Councilman Street. Councilman Street?
Yes, Mr. President. On the one hand, I certainly appreciate, respect, and need the work that the department does. However, I said initially when this came forward, that was never a good idea for this government to follow somebody else's lead. In the instant matter, we end up being the lead and getting sued, and now the lead and things subside until some decisions are made. Bottom line is, I didn't support the first one. I didn't support it before we got sued. I'm not going to support it now. I have a lot of concerns with the most outstanding of which is the fines that in the language that says that after you're cited, essentially it may be continuing every day. It leaves too much latitude for excessive fines and the potential to take property, and I'm not going to support it.
Thank you, Councilman. Any comments for the department on that comment?
We've had the conversation before. I've been in the county 12 years. I ran code enforcement for 3. I've never seen anybody excessively fined that wasn't recidivist and we didn't have a problem with. They are really reserved for the worst case scenarios. So it is up to the discretion of the code officers, but in my experience, I've never seen that happen to somebody who didn't necessarily deserve it.
Councilman Sheldon?
I just asked Councilman Red if I could be a co-sponsor. That's all I was going to talk about, and he said yes. So.
Any other council members? Councilman Red has asked for the favor of the last comment from council before we open it up to the public. Councilman Retta?
Depends on what he said.
Thank you.
Wow, of course.
I'd just like to thank James Edwards and Kristen Dwyer and the code office for all their input on this, and Carol Dawn that went over this and make sure that everything was correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments, and members of council before we release Mr. Edwards? Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Appreciate it. Seeing no further comments, members of council, we'll open the floor to the public for comment on the subject matter of substitute number 2 to ordinance 12015. Any member of the public have any questions or comments? If so, please come up, sign in, and state your name for the record. If you do, don't be shy. Come on up. All right. Very impressed.
like a barker at a carnival. Keep calling till you get them.
Please come on up. Councilman Smiley has a sign-in sheet right next to him. Please sign in. And then join us at the podium and state your name for the record. Welcome. Please state your name for the record. You'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. We welcome your comments for the record.
Thank you. My name is Connor O'Neill, and while you were talking about the fees, I thought, why not make the fee $25, and then if the appeal is not granted for their hearing, why not return $10 to them and keep 15 of it? As like, so you still have some payment for the time and effort spent on the appeal, but it doesn't discourage the people too much from making appeals because they might have been on vacation, as one person said, and so because that way it's compromise, it's the best, I think.
Well, thank you very much for that suggestion. We'll have to introduce you to Mr. Edwards on the way out, and he sets the fees, and he's going to. So we need you to talk to Mr. Edwards about maybe setting some sort of a compromise like that.
And I want to welcome Mr. O'Neill to my side of government finance.
Thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it, Councilman Cartier.
Said like a future county councilman.
I believe Mr. O'Neill may have seen the documentary on Kohl's the other night where they were peeling tags and seeing the lower price underneath before the markdown.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate when any member of the public has the fortitude to get up and make your comments and suggestions and try to make our county government a better place. So thank you very much for your comments. Seeing no other comments, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call roll on substitute number 2 to ordinance 12-015.
Mr. Bell.
No.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Holland.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Kovac.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
No.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
In support of the opinions of Mr. O'Neill, I vote yes.
Mr. Sweet.
No.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call bill is 10 yes, 3 no.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Substitute number 2 to ordinance 12-015 is approved. Moving on, item J, time-sensitive congratulatory/honorary resolutions. Councilman Weiner, I believe we have resolution 12-030. Councilman Weiner.
Yes, I ask that resolution 12-030 be read by title and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 12-030, honoring the life of Lee C. Goldstein and expressing condolences to his family and friends.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Weiner.
Thanks. I'd like to take a moment of personal privilege. This is co-sponsored not only by yourself, Mr. President, but Councilman Cardi and myself. Lee Goldstein was a personal friend of mine for most of my life. He passed tragically with his wife in Barcelona, Spain, visiting their daughter, who's in graduate school there. Lee served the legal community, his personal friends, many ways, volunteering in his many different capacities. He would represent people even if they couldn't afford their legal fees. And he was always thoughtful of others, self-effacing, full of good humor. More than 700 friends and family members attended his funeral. He was like a brother to me. We roomed together in college. We talked together regularly, went out to lunch, talked about our beautiful children, our wives, our hopes, our dreams. I have the honor to try to provide guidance for for the future for his children and to help his wife through this difficult time.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Councilman Carter?
Yes, and I think I know Mr. Goldstein most from his leadership on the board of the New Candlelight Dinner Theater, which is the nonprofit successor to the Candlelight Dinner Theater in the Arden community. And under that board and his leadership has led to a resurgence and a, you know, re-energization of that really important dinner theater, which has been in existence for many years in northern Delaware. And his leadership on that board will be really missed.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Any other comments from council members? Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Any question, comment from a member of the public? Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 12-030.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Vetta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution number 12-030 is approved. Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Moving on, item K on the agenda, consideration of emergency ordinances. I don't have any before me. Any council member know of any emergency ordinances? Seeing none, moving on to item L, public comment. Other? Councilman Smiley?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. With council's indulgence, I'd like to read a letter into the record following along our path of recognizing county staff. This is to Mr. Stephen Cunliffe in Newcastle County Government Center Treasury Department. Dear Mr. Cunliffe, on February 2nd, 2012, I contacted Mr. Denny Hardman of the Treasury Department, first by voicemail and then by speaking directly to him. My call pertained to a concern I had with a SOAR bill, namely a prior year adjustment, which I believe was improperly calculated. I must admit that although my voicemail was not inappropriate, it was a bit edgy in describing the perceived error. None of us have ever gotten those. The reason for this letter is to commend Mr. Hardman on his patience and professionalism in dealing with me. I was in error on my assumption of how the adjustment was calculated. During the course of our 15-minute conversation, Mr. Hardman had to repeatedly describe how the bill was calculated until I was clear on the procedure. All the while, he remained firm in his assertion, but very courteously pointed out my misconception. At times, I was so adamant about my position, I bordered on the verge of being argumentative. I was very impressive on how Mr. Hardman maintained his composure and worked with me until I was comfortable with the billing procedure. I appreciate his efforts and would like to have him recognized for doing a good job with this Newcastle County resident. Please there to share this letter with Mr. Hartman. So again, you know, this is the type of dedication we have in our county employees, and I appreciate it and just wanted to bring that to note.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Looks like we have another member of the public. Please sign in. Make sure that everyone has an opportunity to speak. We limit each speaker to 3 minutes. There's a timer placed on your podium. The yellow light will indicate when there's 30 seconds remaining. Please try not to be duplicative. Nobody's gone before you, so you're good. And refrain from any personal attacks. Public comment is for the purpose of hearing your views on a specific issue. It's not the appropriate forum for questions and answers. As council and the executive staff are available should you have any specific questions. Please state your name for the record and welcome.
Hi, Jerry Fulcher. I gave some material to members of the council, and I wanted to know if you might consider, obviously not tonight, to enter a movement that's been going on across the country since a book was written by Dr. Manny Marable on the assassination of Malcolm X. It's a cold case, unsolved murder. The three people who were taken into custody and are now serving life terms, one of them just got out for 30 years, the other two will be there for the rest of their lives, did not do it. And this has been verified through various evidence that has been presented. My personal involvement was tapping Malcolm X's telephone, becoming a fan of Malcolm X, having contradictory conversations with my Bureau of Special Services and Investigations detective squad in the New York City Police Department. The bottom line is that we're trying to get Vice President Biden to do what he did when he was a senator and revise and bring up again and retry Klansmen who were guilty of murder. And he did that successfully. We're asking him to do it here, too. The New York City Police Department and the FBI had a major part in planning that assassination and in carrying it out by lifting the security guard, for example, at 10:30 in the morning instead of letting them be what they did every other time that Malcolm spoke, have 12 people there. Also, his bodyguard was so undercover a detective that I didn't know he was a detective. He used to stand, if Malcolm was here, he stood here. That Sunday, he stood over here. After Malcolm was shot, he rushed, gave the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, which is no better way to kill somebody than to get the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You just pump the blood out faster. They were 40 yards from the best hospital in New York City, New York Presbyterian. They let Malcolm X die on that stage till he bled to death, and then they brought the body over there. We want this opened. We want it reinvestigated. And across the country, people are doing what I'm doing. They're going to be pointing to the legislative bodies. I'm going to city council later in the week, and I'll go to the legislature after that, asking you to form a resolution and submit it to Vice President Biden, asking him to make the Justice Department re-examine this entire case.
Thank you, Mr. Fulcher.
Thank you.
Any comments, members of council? Seeing none, thank you. Appreciate your time. Any other questions? Councilman Cartier.
Right, as I said in the announcement, I wanted to take a few minutes to address council.
Absolutely.
I don't know if there's any more folks from the public.
Any other member of the public wishing to make comment before Councilman Cartier addresses council? Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of council, public attending, since the advent of this great recession in 2008, it's been the preoccupation of government in general in Delaware, state, county, local governments, to stem the flow of job loss, to cope with the diminishing resources from tax revenues, to try to administer programs to help the unemployed. And this county government has always been on that front line, working in partnership with our state government. Many of us have been here through a lot of those issues with the auto plant closures. We partnered with state government to help Fisker hopefully get started there. We worked with our state government when the refinery closed and PBF came in and bought it. We worked with them. Most recently, we responded to the incredibly bad idea that the Harris Corner Postal Facility should close, and this council, wrote a letter. Councilman Tackett drafted. We all signed. All the district councilmen signed up. When the public meeting was called at the William Penn High School, members of this council were there. Councilman Bell, myself, Councilman Street, to join with the postal workers, members of the community, federal, state officials, the governor, to stop that movement to close the post office, and we've been successful. And that was a great, story that hit the press. That, in fact, all of our interventions on all sides, pulling together, stopped that postal facility from being marked for closure. In fact, it may end up employing more people. So all along, we've had some issues and battles with the loss of employment. We've won, some we've lost, I've been very proud to be in that with the rest of members of council. And I just wanted to update members of council on another very sad, tragic loss of good wage employment in our county. A lot of members of council probably are aware that the refinery industry is in crisis, and we have suffered two closures, one in Trainer, Pennsylvania, the ConocoPhillips refinery, and also, most importantly, the oldest refinery in the United States of America, Sunoco. Sun Oil opened that refinery in 1902. It was under the ownership of the Pugh family, and through war, depression, economic prosperity, economic recession, those refinery facilities have provided steady, good employment to many, many working people in the Brandywine 100 across northern Delaware. And now we are at the eve of the shuttering of the doors. ConocoPhillips has already closed in Trainer, Sunoco in Marcus Hook, and in their facility in Philadelphia, they are shuttered. And I can tell you that there are literally hundreds of people in this county who are now unemployed, who were taxpaying good citizens, who now face a very bleak future. I got to think in some ways the situation fell through the cracks in a way because, you know, these facilities in the main are in Pennsylvania, and I know that, you know, many local elected officials in Pennsylvania have struggled with this. I'm not very happy about the way the governor has treated it in Pennsylvania. I know when our refinery was under threat of closure, our governor was directly, intimately involved in that fight to find a new buyer and reopen that facility. I saw no such effort underway in Pennsylvania. And I just want to bring this story to members of council and to let them know that this will impact the Claymont community very badly, and all of sort of northeast part of the state with all these people who depended on steady, good wage employment at those refineries. It's a story that we had a success. We prevented the post office from being closed, but this refinery situation seems to go and to the end. And the saddest thing I want to mention about all this, to me, on top of the loss, we had the CEO. We watched Ms. Eisenhaus of Sunoco pocket $40 million as she walked out the door of Sun Oil, which is closing these refineries, ripping the guts out of these small communities and these old suburbs in Newcastle County, inflicting mass unemployment. So I'm deeply upset at this, and I just want members of council, I know we're in this fight to, you know, try to keep good in high wage employment in this county, to let them know, you know, we had a bit of a setback, and I know that I can count on you as we go forward to try to find some remedies, and but it's a really hard day for all of us up in my district, and sort of a very bleak time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Carter. Councilman Smiley?
Yes, briefly, just wanted to let council members know I had the pleasure of being in a meeting with Ms. Gwen Lee last night. She's the young lady that came and addressed council and asked for our support. She had hoped to be here this evening. I don't know what, you know, why she didn't make it, but on her behalf, and she may come at a future date, but she did want to extend her sincere gratitude and thanks to the members of council for their support.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Very briefly also, I just assure my fellow friend and Councilman Cartier that we do share his concerns here, and that you know, we are committed to doing what we can do. I also thank him for his reference to the letter I drafted. I do think that was one of the finer pieces I've ever written. I'm sure it had a huge impact when it was received up there. No, seriously, I want to thank Holly for her help in that letter. She did a fantastic job. And
did you sign it?
It was. You all signed it. Well, all but two.
For clarification, I didn't sign it. I sent my own letter the very next day after council.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett. Thank you, Holly.
Yes, I did. And, and Holly didn't help me.
There you go. And Councilman Cartier, thank you for your comments. It really is a troubling situation we find ourselves in with the industrial facilities in our state closing, and I think we need to be, as legislators, as government officials, a little bit more creative in the things that we do and can do to attract new industry to the state, including looking at some existing legislation that was well-intended at the time that might need to be modified to encourage new industry into some sensitive areas of the state, like the Coastal Zone Act. So we need to be creative. We need to do things to protect the environment. We also need to be more aggressive about doing the legislative things that we can do to bring back in industry to the state. Thank you. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing any other questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a
motion to adjourn?
Second. Motion to adjourn in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned.